Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, last week it was hot over here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. Well, Monday, we did not shake the Monday morning blues together because it was fireworks day. Yes, the 4th of July. However, we did start the week off with, let's talk about it, Tuesday, Church Folk Day. And our conversation was, Pastor, protect your family. From the church. Yes. Oh, you know how the church folk are. Oh, the pastors need to keep their congregants from those undue expectations for your spouse and children. Yes, you know how they come after, you know, the pastor's family with all of the things that they feel that they should either be doing or don't do. Oh, my goodness gracious. How about how the pastor needs to protect himself from this demanding schedule that the congregants put on him? Yes. Yes. You know how it is that everybody needs attention, and everybody needs attention the same old kind of way. Yes. So it was one deep conversation there, and we got a nice perspective from our panel. Well, wow, Wednesday rolls around, and we are starting off with our girlfriend Vivian, and the COVID numbers were looking so bad last week. But Vivian also talked about how Google is slotting on in with that Roe versus Wade verdict. Yep. As they have now deleted your history from any real personal searches that you do. Yes. So if you looked up like any medical research, if you did anything regarding domestic violence or abortions or, you know, anything of that nature that would be considered real personal, your history was wiped out. And I have to say, hoorah. Hooray. Oh, yeah. Because now, you know, God forbid somebody puts their hand on your phone or your computer, you know, your stuff is not exposed. Whatever it is not exposed. Well, the ladies was in the house, and we talked about why it's important that you share your testimony. Well, we talked about the fact that it's yours, just simply because it's your testimony. Only you can tell your story. And whatever God has allowed you to do or He's caused to happen, however it goes in God's world, because we can't always kind of, you know, figure that one out. You know, it's it's something that you need to help the next person with. You know, I know we private, but sometimes you got to kind of put that stuff to the side, got to put your little private to the side and make it happen for somebody else, right? Okay. How about the fact that, you know, when you share your testimony, it showcases the love of God. Yes. I mean, when we talk about how God brought us through, isn't that a nice way of showing how much God loves us? Yes. And that's what people hear. Believe it or not, that's what people hear. So we want to make sure that they get that point. Okay? All right. Well, we couldn't close down a Wednesday properly without our Faith Over Fear segment with our Pastor Charlotte. And we went out with a bag. Mm-hmm. Well, Thursday rolled around, and we talked about the fact he was killed for a bag of chips. Yes, that New York City bodega worker who, you know, got into a verbal altercation with a customer. She ran home, got her man, and didn't turn out too well. You know, he went in the store, started beating up the poor little bodega worker, and unfortunately, you know, in order to protect himself, you know, he stabbed his victim, you know, the fierce person was beating on him. Yes. And, you know, he didn't think when he was going up in there to fight the grocery store worker that he was not going to come out. You know, so, you know, we talk about stuff like that, you know, how the tables turn in many ways. So, that wasn't such a great story. But I have to say, you know, hopefully a lesson to be learned for many, many, many people in many, many ways. You just let that lesson speak to you. How can you make sure that that's not you? Okay? Well, Freestyle Friday rolled around. And oh, we were so happy to share our morning with the men. And we had The Reason Why and The Power of Sharing Your Testimony Part 2. Yes. And the men did a fine job. Your story is unique. That's why you need to share your testimony. Not just because it's yours, but because your story is unique. No two people have the same story. Okay? Oh, what else did we talk about? Oh, people love to hear the story. Yes. Both believers and unbelievers love to just hear stories. You know, stories are miraculous stories. And sometimes, again, your unique story puts a nice little spin on God's miracle. Okay? Oh, we talked about it removes fear and gives courage. Is that faith over fear? One more time. Yes. So the men did a fine job, as I said, on Friday, and they took us out into the weekend, and we were happy to have a two-day weekend, you know, to kind of sit back and relax and do whatever else we needed to do. Okay. Well, there was no prayer project last night, but here we are. Oh, we are shaking the Monday morning blues together once again. Yes. And oh, we have a wonderful morning already prepared for you. Throwback. Yes, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy what God has prepared for you today. So I want to take that time to give you a little break, and make sure you get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you call and tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right.
This year, 16,000. 6,000 Americans will be diagnosed with sarcoma.
6,000 will not survive.
Sarcoma is a rare cancer that can grow in bone or soft tissues.
It can affect anyone at any age.
A child waking up at night with knee pain and swelling.
A father who finds a lump in his thigh.
A grandmother with unexpected bone pain.
Do not ignore it, even if it does not hurt.
Sarcomas are usually the size of a golf ball or larger.
If you have a new or growing lump,
get it checked out by your doctor.
A team of sarcoma specialists can ensure the right treatment plan
to help patients recover from surgery and regain function.
Many sarcomas can be cured,
and early diagnosis may improve survival.
Researchers are working to discover a cure.
We
are here for you.
Good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back, or welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Oh, yeah. Oh, what a fantastic way to bring in the week. I'm so excited as we have a little throwback today. So we're going to be doing something that seems like a little different, but in actuality, it's just our norm. We've just had a little break, and I'm ready to get my talk on. I am. So, what we got going on? Well, I'm going to do something a little different today, and maybe even for the week. I came across this list, and it's quite extensive, and as soon as I opened it up, you know, I always say I take a peek at the first couple of items, and I already liked what I saw in number one. So we're talking about the most brilliant cleaning hack of all times. Now, you may not think so, but I the first one, I don't know, man, never thought of this thing here. So get your pens out. You know, like I said, maybe it'll be a brilliant thought for you. Maybe it won't. But I'm sure in this list, you know, we're only going to go over a couple of days, so we don't spend too much time on it. But maybe you'll find something, you know, that you can really use. Well, number one, we definitely can use in this house. Cut the corner off your sponge. Now, yes, we are the household that we use a sponge to clean with, and it's always the sponge that we used to use to wipe, to wash the dishes with. And the interesting part is most times I try to buy a colorful pack of sponges. So, you know, you kind of get that rotation in. But sometimes, such as now, we actually have the same colors. Is it just one pack with all the same colors? And it's like you're looking around, you're like, okay, this looks a little older. Well, cut the corner off. That way, when you cut the corner off, that'll be your old sponge. But you don't want to take the new sponge. You want to make sure that the old sponge is the one that gets the corner cut. Oh, my goodness. I love that idea. That's definitely going to work because people always ask me now, which one it is that you use that you want? Nah, cut that corner. All right, number two, put a cotton ball in your trash can. Now, garbage does definitely smell, and what they're doing is they're suggesting a way to fight the odor. So they say take some essential oil soak that cotton ball in that, you know, essential oil, and drop it in your in your garbage can before you put the bag in there. Right, because if you throw the garbage on top of the cotton ball, it just becomes garbage. So if you do that, then at least your garbage can will stay, you know, nice and fresh smelling. But I have to tell you, we buy the Glad garbage bags that are scented, and I have to tell you, it's worth every penny. It is worth every penny. So listen, you either put the essential oil on your cotton ball and throw it in the garbage can, or you buy the garbage bags that are already scented. We don't smell garbage at all. Okay? They say try the laundry basket method. If you've got little piles of clutter everywhere, a laundry basket, the one that you get like from the dollar store, they say is a brilliant way to consolidate all the things that are out of place. If you're in a hurry, just stash the laundry basket out of sight. If you've got time, walk around with the laundry basket and put all things back where they belong. So that's a nice idea. Yeah, for all the, maybe your kids or something like that. Well, when they were putting stuff around the house and now you're picking up the stuff, yeah. And at least that way, everything is kind of contained. Yeah, I thought that was a good idea. All right, what do we got next? What do we have next? We've got set a timer. They say this tip was a game changer for one of our writers. The idea is set a timer and work until the buzzer goes off. You may finish the dishes early, or, you know, you can now get on to something else. So in other words, don't spend too much time on anything. And I don't think that's a bad idea, actually, if you want to kind of move around, okay? They say, wow, polish a stainless steel sink with flour. Well, this is nice. They say if you have a stainless steel sink, the single best thing you can do for it is to polish it with flour. Wash and dry the sink. Sprinkle the whole thing with flour and then get to buffing. And they say you'll be surprised at how sparkly the metal gets. Well, I can appreciate that because for some reason I looked around and I saw that my little sink was getting a little rust stain on it. So no, you can't have that. So I think I'm going to try that. And I'll let you know how it works. Listen, here's what we're going to do. This week we're going to concentrate on this list. And we're going to go home and we're going to try it or whatever. Let me know how it works for you. So we got, let's do this again. So the first 5 tips we have, cut the corner off your sponge. And that's if you're kind of recycling your sponge that you wash your dishes with, and now you're converting it to a sponge you clean with. Cut the corner off the sponge you clean with, so now everybody knows this is a cleaning sponge. Number 2, put a cotton ball in your trash can. With essential oils inside the trash can, not the bag. So therefore, you'll have a nice smelling trash can, okay? 3, try the laundry basket method as you go to your house and you're picking up, you know, the different things in your house. You just kind of put it down, and then at your real leisure, you can now put these items up where they belong, okay? Set a timer. You know, give yourself enough, you know, sometimes you feel like you just haven't done enough in the day because you spent too much time doing one thing or two things. Set that time up. So you have 10, 15 minutes to do this, and then 10, 15 minutes to do that. And at least you'll get, you know, to more than one thing. And if you're worried about, well, I don't complete a task if I do it this way, then you'll maybe get to doing things a little faster. Ah, what about that? And 5, polish a stainless steel sink with flour. They say wash the sink down, dry it thoroughly, sprinkle the whole thing with flour, then get to buffing, and they say you'll be surprised at how sparkly your metal gets. So let me know how well that works for you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to compare notes, And periodically during the day, Shanti's just remind me to ask. But periodically during the week, we're going to find out if anybody used any of these methods. And we're going to see if this works. Okay? So we got a little bit of time to talk about some news before we get to our feature for the day. So, what are we talking about? All right. Well, there's this California woman who was caught on video setting a man on fire in a local park. So you've got this Patricia Castillo, 48, who doused her victim with gasoline as he lay on the grass in a park near Fresno. Now, the video shows her approaching the victim and throwing a liquid from a cup on him, and she and the victim argue before she sparks a lighter and throws it on him. Now, again, you know, we've talked about this thing with people just walking up on you and doing stuff for no reason. Well, he was rushed to the local hospital, thank God, with non-life-threatening injuries. And she was charged with attempted murder, arson, and conspiracy. And thank God this was somehow caught on video. They say a second person was also arrested for allegedly providing the flammable liquid to Ms. Castillo. And it's not clear, like, what they're actually charging him with. But they said that they don't see where the motive came from. All they see on this video is this man was just lying on the grass, and she walked up and poured the gasoline or whatever this flammable liquid was on him. And I'm really glad that they're, again, we talked about this whole, you know, if you are a part of the crime, you need to go down. Oh, yeah, as Brother Al would say. Yeah, because enough is enough already. Enough is enough is enough already. You know, a lot of times people just feel like as long as they don't commit the major part of the crime, that they're okay. No, you're not okay. You're not okay. Well, I want to also talk about this mass shooting in Johannesburg, South Africa. So are we now kind of infectious and this mass shooting is going on throughout the world, or maybe it started somewhere else and it kind of rolled over here to the United States? Well, nonetheless, you do have this mass murder where 23 people were shot and 12 died at the scene. Now, here's the thing. Yet again, like other times we spoke about here in the United States, there seems to be no rhyme or reason of this. They say around 12:30 a.m. local time there that a group of men rolled up to the tavern and just started shooting people. They just shot 23 people. And they say at the end of the day, unfortunately, 15 people were murdered. And there's, again, no rhyme nor reason. They really said that this is a very poor part of town, and the people were just scattering. And even through the scatter, with all the spraying of the bullets, they were just dying all over the pool table and everywhere. And they say that the suspects, unfortunately, are still at large. They have no idea. They used rifles and a 9mm pistol for this shooting. And they don't see a motive. They can't find anything that anybody did. They say that one thing, all the victims were legally able to drink. and there was no real problem. You know, sometimes they'll say, you know, like this was an after-hours place, or, you know, this was a drug infested place. They said, no, it really wasn't that. It was just a regular bar. And they say that this area is the poorest part in Soweto. And, you know, it's, again, you know, we just need to pray for these people, you know, as they are, you know, grieving and mourning the loss of their loved ones. And they're saying that their murder rate has really dropped, what really dropped during the COVID pandemic, but it shot up during the final years of 21. And they have another shooting at a bar at one point that killed 4 people and injured 8 people. And this seems to be a trend here, because they're also citing 2 weeks ago when the 21 teenagers died from the unknown circumstances at a tavern. Yeah, they think it was like gas. I remember reading the story, and they think it was like some kind of a gas leak. And they were all teens. They were all teens. So let's keep that area lifted up, you know, in prayer, as they are also, you know, suffering the loss. You know, it's one thing to be in a place, again, as always, you know, these people are just doing what they do. You know, we're not going to talk about whether they were in a bar or anything else, because here in the United States, people are at a supermarket, people are at school. You know, we don't have to be, quote unquote, in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, or doing the wrong thing. You know, remember when you used to go somewhere and your parents would say, every time you go somewhere and you're doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, something's going to happen. Well, we just run out of that. People are just living life, and people are just so unhappy and miserable and evil that this is just what they do. You just roll up and you just start killing people. And they said, you know, in this article, they were saying, as, you know, the reporters were going around interviewing people, they said, for those who did survive, thank God, they said people were just dropping at their feet. They were just falling dead at their feet. And I can't even imagine being in that type of an environment where, you know, I'm just watching people die. I can't even imagine it. I can't even imagine it. And I thank God that, you know, I've never been in that particular, you know, predicament to have to, you know, live that and experience that. So, again, let's keep them lifted in prayer. And, you know, just... thank God for you not being a victim. You know, we always talk about how, you know, we cover the news, but we are not the news. Well, the last little story we will cover today is the story of a 15-year-old charged with murder in another child's killing. They say that these two young men, a wannabe 15-year-old rapper, they say a 15-year-old hip-hopper, you know, was charged with murder in the fatal subway stabbing of a 14-year-old up-and-coming rapper in Manhattan. They're saying that Ethan Reyes, he was killed by another young man, and they're holding his name because of his age. You know, his parents, they just moved to Yonkers, this Ethan Reyes. And somehow or another, him and this other young boy, they have been, you know, in argument. They have been at it. They don't know what's going on, but they do know one another, which they say is the saddest part of the situation. And they got to arguing in the subway, and somebody doesn't have a life. And I'm bringing this up because, yet again, we're talking about this 15-year-old. And our children are killing our children, and they're really trying to get down to the bottom of it, because they say they know one another, which makes it really more sad and puzzling. And, you know, we don't want to hear about stuff like this. You know, it saddens our heart to hear stuff like this. And, you know, again, we have another family to keep, it, you know, lifted in prayer. They moved their family to Yonkers. So here it is. I moved my family to Yonkers, but yet my child still ends up in the train station in Harlem. And for those of us parents who always do the, you know, always do make that extra step, take that extra step to cover our children and to keep them safe. I can't even imagine how these parents are feeling right now to think that, and they said they just moved in May. So here I moved my family to Yonkers in May. So I would like to think, they don't say where the children, you know, where they live, but we're thinking that, you know, they moved to Yonkers maybe to get a better life. And yet you still find your way down here. You know, I'm sure nobody kidnapped him or anything like that, but whatever the melee was, unfortunately cost him his life. And again, prayers out to the Reyes family for this senseless, again, senseless. And again, prayer to the family of the young man who allegedly murdered him, because now that's another life. They have not caught him yet, but it's another life going straight down the drain. And every time I think of this prison system, just housing all of these lives that have just gone down the drain, it is so sad. It is so sad. Well, it is the 7:30 hour, and I am quite excited as we have the relationship clinic today. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we did have a scheduled guest, and that's the day that Blog Talk went kabonkas, and we had no ability to get on. But thanks be to God that he spared our lives, and we are blessed to have Pastor J.O. and Lady Nicole Burns on with us. So I will say good morning to the Burns. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you both?
We are great. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you. I am doing well. And I would love to give you an opportunity to just tell us who the Burns are.
Well, we're just normal people that love the Lord and love God's people. I don't know, baby, you want to tell them who we are?
Yes. We have been married for 19 years. My husband I've been in New York just 4 years. I'm originally from California. My husband's born and raised here, so we are walking in a new season right now.
Amen. 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 Well, welcome to New York. I'm a native New Yorker, so I am heartily welcoming you here. How have you enjoyed the stay here in New York so far?
It's a different change, but I'm definitely adjusting. I won't complain.
Okay. Well, again, we're so happy to have you on. Sorry again for our, you know, the Blog Talk kablunkas that went on a few weeks ago. But we're really excited that we have another opportunity to share this morning with you. And we are definitely sure you have some good gems to drop on our laps this morning. You chose the topic external threats. Now tell me why you chose that topic.
Well, I mean, we're very high on trying to help marriages and relationships, because I believe they're the very substratum of everything. You know, God instituted that with Adam and Eve. And, you know, there's just, the enemy is always trying to get in, because it's God's foundation for man. You know, that man and that woman become one, and they build a godly family. So he's always trying to get in somewhere. You know, he's on the outside trying to work in. So we chose that topic because it's a topic that we always, it's in our heart, you know, to really help to keep the enemy away from marriages and relationships.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to go somewhere here. When you talk about external threats, and based on what you just said, a lot of times we experience the external threat once you're married heavily, but it's not that it doesn't start even in, let's say, your dating period. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Well, I believe, I'm not such a advocate for dating, but I'm an advocate for courting.
dating. I'm sorry, I'm still not up on like what the difference is. So maybe you could do that for me this morning. I don't know the difference between dating and courting because everybody uses it kind of interchangeably. So you know what? Yeah. Let's start there. What's courting, Pastor Burns?
Well, courting as opposed to dating. When you're courting with intent. I mean, I hate to use the word dating, but you're courting with intent. There's intent there, and a lot of times dating, I'm gonna get something to eat. A lot of times, you know, you don't know what people's intentions are. They might just be bored. They might just be, you know, want company. But it's when you're courting, you're saying we are coming together to see if we can be together, you know. So there's intent there when you're courting, and then there's rules that a lot of times dating don't have, you know. I think because I'm against flirting when it's no intent there for marriage, okay? Because flirting becomes lying when you're sitting there making somebody else think that you're interested. And you have no intentions of marrying that person, no intentions of, you know, going to the end with that relationship, seeing what the end's going to be, then that's lying. So a lot of times dating becomes flirting because one person is believing that this might go somewhere and the other person is just bored. I'm just going out. I'm just, well, I don't have nobody else to take me out, or you understand? But
okay.
When I say I'm courting, you know, the next move after that, if we are compatible, is the engagement. So there's the difference for me.
Okay. I'll accept that difference. Okay, it makes sense. Okay, so we're courting. And now there are external threats happening. How do you deal with external threats? But before that, let's talk about what some of those external threats could be, even in your courting season.
Yes. So some of the external threats could be unfaithfulness in courting. So because, you know, like my husband said, in courting is basically you already have an end picture. The end picture should be marriage, and that's an intentional thing. That's one of the main differences between courting and dating. So definitely an external threat would be unfaithfulness. Some of the other external threats that I have are more so for marriage, but some that are for courting also would be finances. Addiction could be an external threat, and also some associates.
I think associates are the biggest external threats to courting, because who you were hanging around with, this, that, and the other. I personally tell women and men to kind of, if you're intending to get married, you kind of got to drop your friends a little bit to a certain degree. If you have single friends that don't have the same mindset, won't respect the boundaries, you know, won't respect the fact that you are really serious about this, you know, and then they're always trying to pull you out to the clubs to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Always trying
mm-hmm.
to, you know, introduce you to other people.
Right.
You know, those are the external threats to the beginning of a relationship, you know, because you got to focus with anything. If you want
right.
it, you have to focus. You got to kind of get tunnel vision. And in order for you to really find out about that other person, to really know that other person, if you don't focus, you'll never know. So your decision won't be based on, you know, good information.
Right.
Because you're all
right.
over the place.
Right, right. And that's why I wanted to kind of talk about that part of it, because I think a lot of times people don't realize that, you know, if this is your goal, if this is your end game, if you're trying to get to the point of marriage, that there are external threats. And those friends, woo, those are the doozies. And I agree with you 100%. And a lot of times people don't want to drop that. They, you know, oh, these are my friends, and I always had, they came here before you, and, you know, why I got to leave these people behind. And, you know, so I'm really glad that you said the things you said, Pastor Burns, because that there, that's a killer. That's a killer a lot of times. So,
and it's not just friends. It's also family members, you know,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
mama
that's right.
always,
that's right.
you know. I know
that's
my
right.
my when I was out there calling myself trying to court, but I, you know, back then I was dating really, but when I was back, my grandmother was I saw a young lady that I really liked, and she, you know, she was a pastor's daughter, and my grandmother, the first thing she looked at her and says, well, you know, she gonna be a big one, you know, she gonna be real big, look at her mama. And she put, my grandmother put all this stuff in my head and all these fears
wow.
that made me just walk away from the young lady. The young lady never had a chance from
wow.
what my grandmother had already put in my head.
Wow.
So.
Wow, wow. That's a dead note. That, and you know what? That's important, because sometimes people, and I want to talk about this for a minute, people think they mean well. You know, they're not, grandma wasn't thinking she was purposely, was she? Purposely, I can't speak for grandma. Maybe you can tell. You know what? You know, sometimes, but let's put it, you know, this quote unquote innocent. I'm looking out for you. Oh, I'm looking out for you, Pastor and Lady Burns. What are we talking about here when people have your best interest at heart, quote unquote? What are we watching out for when that's the premise?
They usually have their best interest. That's how people manipulate you into being with who they want you to get with and control your life. Because my wife and I, we had a lot of external threats. You know, the important people in my life hated on her from the start. And so they said all these things to me to give me a lot of fear, stuff that never came to be.
Wow.
You know, but I didn't listen to none of that. You know, that's how, you know, you got to really listen to the Lord. And I kept telling him, you know, God said, this is the one. You know, this is who the Holy Spirit says. My mama liked somebody else. And I, you know, had I married that girl's a mess.
Wow.
You know, for my family, I got the same thing, you know, that he might not be the best candidate for you, you know. You need to think about this and look at where you are, look at where he is, you know. Had I listened, you know, we wouldn't be married now, and we've been married 19 years now.
Whoa.
Not just married, you know. We're still happy.
Yeah.
We're still
Amen.
Progressing.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 You're the second couple who's been on with us who said that in the beginning, in their courting season, you know, that there was that, it was that family who was in their ear. And thank God, like you, I think they're married now. Well, back then, it was a couple of years ago. I think they were in 17 years as well. They were in their teens. And, you know, giving God thanks that again, you all listen to the Lord and not people. And that's why this external threat was on that list, because this is something that you really need to be aware of. So now that we've gotten through the courting stage and, you know, we're married, let's talk about some of the external threats on the other side of the fence. Well, what's one of the threats you want to talk about today?
Well, I mean, there's so many because, like I told you, the enemy, he knows the damage that two can do with God, you know, for the kingdom. One can take 1,000, two can set 10,000 to flight, you know. So he gets in there every which way. I mean, one of them with the finances, that's one of the biggest things that breaks a lot of, you know, saved couples up. You know, they allow even the influences of their friends, like, you know, say the wife or the husband go shopping with their friends and they know that their household is on a certain budget and they're working towards a goal. Well, other people that don't have any goals that you have around will pull you out. Let's go get this $1,400 Gucci bag. You know, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And don't even realize that's a trick of the enemy. Because, like I said, you have to stay focused on the goal that God has set for your marriage. Because every marriage has an assignment from the Lord for the king. So, and it's different assignments. So I don't have the same assignment as my boy and his wife. So, you know, they could maybe go out and get that Gucci bag, you know. Like, I can, for example, there was a trip that my wife and I was invited to, and, you know, people know we can afford to go. It was to the Bahamas with a bunch of people. They know we can afford to go, right? But they was like, well, why didn't you go? And then they felt like, I think some of them felt like I was being cheap, and I wasn't being cheap. I would have loved to go, but we have a son, 17, and a daughter, 8, right? And there was nobody that I felt safe to leave my daughter with. And my son's not really mature for me to go out the country and leave him here in this house, you know, by himself.
All right.
It'll be parties and everything else. So, but other people's opinion was like, oh, you don't want to take your wife to the Bahamas. You just didn't want to, you know, and they don't realize I wanted to, but we have our own assignment. I got to protect my children. I'm not going to leave my little daughter out there with anybody that I just don't, you know, feel, I'm very strict with that. I don't want nothing happen to them. A lot of things has happened, me and my siblings growing up, you know, and if one thing, you think about it for a minute. Say your child gets molested. That changes the course of child for the rest of their life.
That's right.
So the devil would love to do that. Go to the Bahamas. Be, you know, you ain't got nobody for your kids. Leave them with anybody. And you can't, you know, that's the trick of the enemy. I see it clear as day. And I will deny myself to make sure that my children are safeguarded. If I had somebody that I really felt safe that would come in, but we knew back here in New York, and it's just not nobody. My mother is of a, you know, she's getting too old, and you know, she's got problems walking. She's not going to be able to do and keep up with the kids, you know?
Right. And, you know, so Pastor Burke, I have to say, it takes maturity. It takes maturity to get there. I didn't mean to cut you off. It takes maturity to be there, to say, no, I need to deny myself because these other things are more important.
And that's one of the biggest things, because, you know, that's an external threat where the enemy will come in and have you thinking about self, and then you leave other things open and he can get right in. He's always looking for a way in. If it's through your children, it's through your spouse, it's through, you know, any way you can get in, through the finances. Well, if I could just get him to gamble or her, or, you know, to go shop all the money away. And then when the bills can't get paid, Now they're arguing and fighting, and then I can break that relationship up. You know, he's cunning. So we got to be, you know, vigilant, you know, because he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour, seeking what relationships he can tear apart so the kingdom doesn't get advanced the way it should be.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lady Nicole,
yes.
I would like to talk about the external threat of the television.
That's a good one. And that's funny that you asked me too, because I'm not big on TV at all. I rarely watch TV. And of course, along with the television is the telephone or our cell phone, because, you know, that's our new TV now. And I feel like it's definitely feeding a lot of bad information, especially when we come to Christian marriage. Because, you know, I mean, the TV, you know, while it does have definitely Christian TV shows, but a lot of it is really promoting, don't get married, just live together. Cohabitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no need to get married. And, you know, the world would really, really push test drive it before you buy it.
Yes.
You know, in other words, do all that needs to be done and let me see the ins and outs, even with sex and everything else, before you get married. So I think that's one of the things that TV promotes. And I think if we watch it too much, I feel like we can really kind of have some struggles with getting married, especially with our children's generation. They're looking at, well, why? What do I need to get married for? It's, I've heard someone say it's just a piece of paper. It's not really much. You know, it promotes the division of the family, I feel like. You know, they're trying to change the fabric of what a family looks like. A family is a man, a woman, and children. But if you watch too much TV now, you'll notice that they're trying to switch that dynamic up.
That's right.
They're saying it's not exactly a man, a woman, and child now. It's something different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, you know, watching the television can certainly give some, in my opinion, wrong messages, especially what I'm trying to teach my household, because as for me and my house, we love the Lord. And I explain to my children, you know, this is God's design that a man and a woman be married and then they have children. And in school, you know, the public schools now, I was in pre-K. I was a pre-K teacher, and they had a book that is from the state, and the book was showing about a little girl who had two daddies at the age of four. And so, you know, they were, it's just, there's some very much mixed messages that if people are watching TV too much and they're not, you know, biblically sound or have, you know, that teaching, they could get some stuff twisted up and say, oh, that's okay, it's fine. Some things are not okay, in my opinion. And I'm not trying to, you know, be to have conflict. I'm putting it out there, but that's just, you know, my opinion.
Listen,
that's how I see it.
Listen. We, as for we and here in God's house, we will serve the Lord. You know, listen, you know what, Lady Nicole, when they want to do and say what they want to do and say, such as, like you said, bring these perceptions and lifestyles to our four-year-olds, they don't care nothing about conflict. They don't care nothing about conflict. They just go ahead and put it out there, and if they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. And as you said, this world is so twisted that they get less conflict for that stuff, and we get more conflict serving the Lord. So, listen, we have to speak God's truth. Now, if you on the opposite side don't believe it or you don't subscribe to it, then so be it. But, you know, like you said, it's too early, and I do know because one of the young ladies who works in the school, she said the same thing. She said these are the books that the state put, you know, that they put in the schools for our children at four. So already they're molding their minds.
Yep.
And it has been a plan, a long time plan. It's been very strategic, you know, because you could look at the television maybe even 10 years ago and see that there is such a major difference now in what you would watch on TV. And this is not even on cable. This is regular local TV where you don't have to pay for nothing. It's a free TV.
It's so true. When you think about the fact that years ago you couldn't say damn on TV. Now, like you said, prime time, you've got the cuss words. And I'm like, you know, you really have to censor, you know, the shows that your children watch, because nothing is clear of the opposite lifestyle, of the language, or like you said, the perception of what's good and bad. It's twisted, and you're absolutely right. We could go back years ago; it was definitely different.
Absolutely, and even some of the children's shows, you know, if you really sit back and see the meaning and what they're dropping in it, it's, you know, some of it even causes the children to be rebellious. You would be surprised just sitting watching kids shows. You're like, what in the world? You're showing my kid how to basically, you know, disrespect me.
Right. Because every child is mad. Lady Nicole, we've been talking about this before. I've never seen just a mad generation. And what happens is they have the parents always, you know, 2 miles. So, like you said, they're disrespectful. The parents don't respond definitely like how we would respond. And now what do you think our children are going to believe? They're going to try it. They're going to try it because so-and-so tried it on TV, and that did nothing happened to them. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. You know, it does.
And then the cell phone. You know, I mean, everything, and we were just talking about this the other day, is at our children's fingertips. You know, stuff that they had no access to before, they have it in their hands. You know, and it's just like you want your child when they go away from you to be able to call you. So you want them to have a cell phone because it's a safety measure. But at the same time, you don't want them to be able to just get on their phone, push a button, and see crazy stuff like porn and, you know, how to do this. And on YouTube, they can teach you how to pick a lock or how you hot water wire a car or, you know, whatever. Just too much stuff. You know, you can learn how to do everything.
That's right. Nothing it stays like a question mark because they have answers for everything on the internet. And yet you're absolutely right. As long as we have cell phones in our hands, they do pose an external threat to the fiber of relationships, marriages, family. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for that one. Pastor Burns, I want to touch on this because last week, Tuesday, in our church folks segment, we had the topic, Pastors Protect Your Family. And from the church. So I want to go back to that. As a pastor, you know, we're talking about external threats. And the church poses a heavy threat to the fiber of some marriages. Let's talk about that for a little while.
Well, I grew up preachers, you know, kids and, you know, our family. And so, you know, I'd have a lot to say on that subject. A lot of the pastors put the church before the family. And, you know, and I experienced a lot of that, you know, growing up with my grandfather. And he just really didn't understand that your family comes first. He was sending children to camp, summer camp, you know, before his own grandkids, you know. Always putting them first, and it caused a lot of us to resent the church, when it really wasn't the church. It was the pastor not really using the wisdom to know that there's a balance. You know, yes, God called you to that work, but the first work he called you to was to your family. First ministry he called you to was to your family. So we, you know, we got to realize that, you know, we have to, and then here's another problem that these pastors, they, for the zeal of ministry, like when preachers come in from out of town and they'll put them up in their house and you got young children running around and you don't know these people are perverts and child molesters, you know, whatever. And just because they put a collar on don't mean that they ain't jacked up.
Yeah.
So you just invite them in your home and you feel like because they preach the gospel so well, they just really good moral people, and then your children years later tell you that they were molested, they were raped, they this happened, that happened, you know? And you all for the zeal of ministry. You understand? We have to be diligent. We have to be watchful. We have to stay on top. Know that the enemy will come in, you know, sheep's clothing. You know? You come in with a collar. You come in preaching.
Wow. You touched on something that was real big. And, you know, like you said, for the zeal of ministry, it's almost like it is an external threat from the enemy, because now you've somehow twisted God's design and his purpose, and you've traded that for the way you look. Ooh, did I just say that, Pastor Berg?
Mm-hmm.
Did I just say that?
Image.
Oh, let's talk about that. Oh, no. What is going on with that?
Well, that's really most of the time what it's all about. You're trying to impress, trying to keep that image, and, you know, and not willing to really, you know, like I say, sacrifice for the relationship, for the family. You know, it's not just the children. I mean, you got your wife in the home too, and you're inviting all these preachers around. I remember years ago, you know, I guess I don't want to give too many details, but, you know, we had to beat a preacher up and run him out of town. You know, I can give you one story where a pastor had a visiting preacher coming into town, and the conference was going on, and he sends his daughter to go pick the preacher up from the airport. And that man raped that preacher's daughter before she could get back to the church.
And then he
jetted out of town, you know. And, of course, they went to the town where they found him, and him and the brothers beat the man to a pulp. But, you know, they... Look what happened. Because he was a preacher, he sends his daughter to go pick up the preacher. You know? And so I'm just saying, you know, the enemy comes in, he uses anybody he can, and you must stay diligent, you must stay intelligent. Don't be ignorant because, you know, just believing all church folks and because they say they love the Lord. You know? I mean, Judas proved that he wasn't who he was supposed to be. You understand?
Right.
He walked
right.
with Jesus.
Right.
Jesus picked him. And look what was really in his heart. So those are external threats. We have to really ask the Lord for discernment and stay on our watch, especially as the men, you know, in the family. The women do too, you know, because you need more than two set of eyes. I mean, you know, one set of eyes watching. You know, but... You got to stay on top of that, because one wrong move can change the whole fabric of your relationship, of them children, of that wife, you know?
Absolutely. And that's the scary part, Pastor Burns, because I always say, you can't go back. You can't. There's no second chance at this stuff. Once it happens, it happens. How you proceed is something different. But you can't always dictate how things move forward. So, you know, even in, like you said about, you know, the young lady who was raped by this pastor, yeah, y'all may have gone out to his state and location and found him and beat him to a pulp, but that doesn't change her life. It doesn't change what's happened to her. Because of your lack of thinking, that doesn't change how she's going to live the rest of her life. All the treatment and the therapy or whatever, you know, that needs to take place in her life. So, you know, we only got one shot at this thing. And we really have to make it happen. I want to talk before we finish with this, the pastors letting the church become an external threat. I want to talk about the time, how that pressure of your time and dealing with your congregation can really tear away at the fiber of your marriage.
Oh, definitely. I mean, like I said, I grew up, you know, preacher's kid. So, my grandfather was our pastor, and he never was home. You know, wife left alone most of the time. You know, I know it because I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. You know, it's just always out, always gotta tend to the needs of the flock, and don't realize that your own family got needs. Your children get caught up in addictions. You're leaving your wife lonely, and the Bible talks about that. Come together often. You know, Paul tells you, you could cause that spouse to, you know, and that'll definitely tear up a church, tear up a marriage. When the husband and wife, you know, are infidelity there, you know, and all that.
Right.
And then you got to understand something. I mean, you know, you work on these jobs, you're with your coworkers more than you're with your family, you know, with your spouse, and you know how relationships can start just through conversation. You know, just casual talking. Uh-huh. After a while, they know you better. And next you know, my wife don't know me like that. My wife don't understand me like that. Or my husband don't understand me like that, because you're spending too much time outside. And God never had it for us to do it the way we're doing it. He never says, spend all this time with the church folks. You got to listen. Jesus preached, and then he went away, you know, and spent time with the Father. You know what I'm saying? He didn't stay hanging out with the people. He gave them what he needed to give them, and then he moved on. But us, we'll sit there, and we go into their Christmas dinners and their turkey dinners and our family's home, missing the pastor. You know, he ain't at the table, you know. He coming in late, you know. And another woman cooking for that pastor more than his wife. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? And you know how them church women will do. They'll whip up some meals and try to put some hoodoo on you.
Oh my goodness gracious! I want to.
That's why I don't hardly eat anybody's cooking. Don't bring me no meal. I ain't come to your house sitting down at your table without my wife.
Tell that story, Pastor Burns. Amen. Amen. Oh my goodness! You know See, this is why I love relationship clinic, because this stuff comes out. We're talking real stuff. We're talking the preventive measures from people who actually take the preventive measures. You know, it's one thing when you're talking and, you know, you're just giving. But when you speak from experience, when you speak from, I already know the do's and don'ts, and I exercise the do's and don'ts. That's why relationship clinic has always been just fantastic, because we never had a shy couple. Y'all always bring it. I want to pick your brain before we move on. Why do you think this is such an issue about time? Because, see, most times before Most pastors are married before they become a pastor. So why do you think the dynamic shifts so much to where you're spending so much time in the church? I'm just picking your brain. What do you think it is?
Before my husband answers, I want to just chime in too. I was just thinking, I think sometimes people confuse their spiritual life and church. And while they definitely both go together, and I think I did early on, people feel like if I'm at church a whole lot, it makes me more saved. While the Bible certainly says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with other believers. We are supposed to come together as believers, but we are supposed to, in our alone time, our individual time, spend time with the Lord, allowing mm-hmm. him to download some things for our spiritual life, which would tell us, make sure your spouse is taken care of. Make sure your children are taken care of. Make sure your household is taken care of. In addition to, yes, go to church, but make sure you have a good balance. I think when we have that close relationship with the Lord, we're able to put the time in the places that it needs to be. And mm-hmm. and as a married couple, we have to understand that while we have to meet one another's needs, we have a family's need that has to be met as well. We got to teach and train our children. We got to prep them for going out there in the world and being with their friends. So I just wanted to share that part.
Time is a gift.
Thank you.
That was given to us by God. Okay, one of the first gifts he gave us when he separated the day and the night, and then he rested on the Sabbath. You know, he's eternal, but he gave us time, and time management is the major thing that we have to do. He put Adam in the garden to manage things. Okay, manage the his handiwork. So God gave us time, and we ought to manage time. But most of us let time get away because we don't stay diligent about managing time. We have to put everything in its proper perspective. We got to put church, family time, you know, leisure time, you know, take them vacations. And you know, so you don't get like Elijah. He got so stressed out. The man wanted to commit suicide almost, you know. So you understand, manage that time, and the enemy knows that, and he'll play with the time. He'll have you thinking that you need to give more time to this, less time to this, and then next you know, this is good, and that then got all jacked up,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you have to ask the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. for wisdom on how to use your time, you know?
Absolutely. And I thank you, Lady Nicole, because I was definitely coming to you because I wanted the woman's perspective on that, too. You know, you're on
the
opposite end of, so I'm glad you did mention that. Thank you so much. The next dynamic I want to talk about, you touched on it a little bit, and that was the external threat of your marriage from your children. And I actually, again, want to get both sides. I'll start with you, Lady Nicole, but I definitely want to get both sides because a mom and a dad definitely have, you know, their own perspective. How can your children, Lady Nicole, become an external threat to your marriage?
That is such a good one. And so I feel like a lot of times, you know, our children watch our dynamic. They watch us. And so I'll give you this example. Like my son and my daughter, they know if they want something, which parent to go and ask. They know how to manipulate us,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
can be a problem. So, like,
mm-hmm.
let's just take something like sugar, you know, a sugary, like a soda or some candy. They're not going to come to mom and ask because I'm going to say no. But they're going to go to dad. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, get that. And that's just one small thing. But even with bigger stuff, my children know which parent to go to because they've watched us. They know us, which when doing that, it can now cause an argument between my husband and I. I'm like, why would you let them have that? They've been eating candy all day. You're just going to give them more? You know, that, and that can be an issue for us based off of our children and, you know, how we parent them and what we allow them to do. So that is definitely an area that can cause some problems. And it has. You know, we're arguing based off of them, what they did and how one of us handled the situation, because us ourselves would have handled it different. That's been some arguments before, to be honest, just to be transparent. You know, like, what? How could you, and you just let her do them, or you let her do this, and then now we got an argument. What do you mean I let her? You know, so that's definitely an area for us.
Oh my goodness! You know, is it that, you know, a lot of times it comes out, well, you don't want to be seen as the bad guy. Is that what's happening? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yes. Absolutely. And I say that to my husband too. I'm like, oh, you, when it's a hard situation, you want them to come to me, and you want me to be the one to say no, because you want them to think you nice and you the yes man, huh? So, you know, I mean, we've had that conversation before, and this is one of the reasons why, I'm going to go back a little while, one of the things that we try, and if we're, you know, mentoring or counseling somebody, we always tell them, make sure you guys have this conversation before marriage about children, about discipline, how you're going to discipline in different situations, different scenarios, because it's really important to be on the same page when it comes to the discipline of your children. They really need it. They need to know that if I ask something of my parents, that they're both going to be on the same page. They're both going to say no, or they're both going to say yes. And now it doesn't give them the time to manipulate and think, like, I know if I ask my mom, she's going to say this, but if I go to my dad, he's going to give me this. So in that aspect, you take that away from the children, because they know that you are a united front, which is really important.
Right. Right, right, right. They'll get the same answer regardless of which parent they go to. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Pastor Burns, now, are you the good guy?
Always, always, always. No, my wife can get quite soft herself, you know? So don't let her fool you. They You know how people can be a little moody sometimes, discern where she's at. And if they can't get, they don't feel they can get it, then they'll come and say, well, hopefully, you know, he's in a good enough mood, I can get it from him. So, they you know, children are very, very strategic, and they're watching you all the time. And, you know, they learn how to get their ways. But like you say, you got to watch that, because children can tear up a marriage. They can tear up a relationship playing all the games they play, trying to get what they want. Yeah, you know, so you got to even watch them. You know, my oldest son causes a lot of arguments between me and my wife for the way he is and what he does. And then we sit back and realize, you know, it's him. He's doing this mess, you know, and the enemy using him. So you can't allow them to use your children. You don't make them a guard. You know, a lot of families, somebody in the relationship makes their children a god. Oh, my children, and this is going to be, and a lot of it's based on our own stuff, what we didn't get when we were younger. And then we're trying to make up for it with our children and don't realize that's a trick of the enemy. You know, some of the stuff, the fact that we didn't get was good for us. You know?
Oh, amen. Amen. Sometimes you give God thanks when your parents said no.
Just like my son, he turned 16 and got his license, you know, a few months ago. You know, he ended up getting his license. And then the first thing I wanted to do was give him a car, because nobody didn't give me one, right? Mm-hmm. And gave him a car. The first thing he did was crash.
You know? Oh. Oh, my goodness.
You know, lucky it wasn't a bad crash, you know, and we got past that, and, you know, he's 17 now, you know, so a few months later, and he's driving every day now pretty well. But I had to give him something that, because I always was like, I wish somebody would have given me this, you know, and helped me out. But, you know, look at the price I had to pay right away.
Wow. What do you
And that caused no argument between me and my wife, because my wife kept saying, he's not ready, baby. He's not ready. He's not ready. And I felt like, wow, he can do it. He can handle it. It's my boy. You know?
Oh, my goodness. What do you two say to the parent that says, my children come first? Because I've heard that so many times. You know, the kids come first. You know, he's grown or she's grown or she's an adult. You know, the kids have to come first. How do you respond to parents who feel that way, who actually put the children before the marriage?
I tell them that's a tricked enemy and the devil is a liar, because that marriage comes first. That's why I tell my children all the time. I said, don't be trying to mess my marriage up with your mess, because y'all gonna get grown and get out and get with whoever y'all get with, and then I'm left here with all the damage y'all did, you know what I'm saying, with my wife. I tell them all the time. I said, no, she comes first, you know. Now, mind you, we have a job to protect our children, love them, raise them right in the way they should go, but they should go, you know. me and my wife is forever, you know, till we die. So death do us part. So children don't come first. You don't make a god out of them. I tell them, do not make a god out of your children, because trust me, them same children, they get all into selfishness and forget all about you. And in your old age, it won't even be your children taking care of you. You know?
Tell
the Bible said, put no confidence in the flesh.
Tell that story. Lady Nicole, how do you respond to people who tell you, you know, oh, he can wait, you know, he can do for himself, the kids come first?
I had a conversation about that just recently, too. Number one, we have to remember about when we got married, we came into covenant. We basically stood before, you know, witnesses and the preacher, and we said those vows. And we came in covenant with God. And so we have to make sure that we hold that covenant. And one thing that it is a challenge for some women, especially if they grew up watching their parents take care of the children first. So, and for some women, it is a big challenge. They're like, these are my babies, and, you know, I got to watch out for them because, you know, they say the man is grown. I would say to them, you have to be very careful, because that was not the design that the Lord gave. It's the marriage first, and then the children are the byproduct of the marriage. They came from the marriage, so it's because the marriage is using the design of God that the children came. And so the children come after marriage, and we have to just make sure, as hard and as a challenge that it can be, you have to get that understanding of that was the order and the design of God. And so we got to follow after him, because that's what he's calling us to do.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk about this one last thing, because I promised you 8:30. But I can't let you go without talking about this one, because it's external, internal, but ultimately external. Let's talk about selfishness versus selflessness. That's a big external threat. That's internal, but external. How do we deal with, or how do you put this in its proper perspective, being selfless opposed to being selfish? Either one of you can start, because I definitely want to get it from a perspective from the both of you.
Well, I mean, like I said, with anything, everything costs. You must make a sacrifice. And if you're a person that's very selfish, then you're never going to ever get to where God has ordained for you to get, because what everything costs. Anything worth getting, you know, is going to cost you. You know, for God so loved the world, he wanted to redeem the world. What did he have to do? He had to die. You understand, to bring the world back, you know, in proper perspective. So it's like, you know, that right there is one of the major things. If you want a relationship to work, you literally have to die to self. And if both parties die to self, it's going to work, because they're putting the other's needs ahead of their needs. So then everybody's needs are being met. But when you stay in that selfish mode, me, that causes most divorces, most breakups, because soon, you know, like the man get an attitude as soon as she tells him no, as soon as she got a headache, soon, you know, he ain't understanding that she worked with the kids all day, she's tired, blah, 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 blah. And now he's like, I want it, and I want it now, and if you don't give it to me, I'm going to go out there and get it or something, you know. That's what that spirit will take you all the way out. It'll break everything up, you know?
Wow. Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff, Pastor Burns. Lady Nicole, how do you help someone understand the difference?
I really, back to kind of what I said about, you know, when you get married, the covenant. So it's no longer one, or no, it's no longer two, but it's now one. So you have to, and, you know, my husband, actually, he didn't share it as I thought he was. He would always say, you know, he wasn't sure that, or one of the challenges before we got married that he felt like about me was that I was selfish. And then, you know, you really have to kind of take a look back at, you know, kind of where I came from. You know, I'm no time to share my story, but we have to just realize that it's no longer all about me, but it's now about us. And gaining that balance, understanding, because if it's out of balance, you can do too much on the other side. Too much selflessness is going to cause you to neglect yourself. Because if I'm always constantly, continually, it's all about him, my husband, this, I'm bending over backwards. Let's say you get married young, you don't have a lot of skills. You didn't pick up learning how to drive. You didn't pick up learning how to do finances. But now you're in a marriage, and now you are doing everything for your spouse, but you never, ever, ever do anything for yourself. You're going to find you're going to have burnout. And there's going to be an issue with that. And the same thing on the other side of it. If you are always all about me, you're going to find that your spouse is now at a point where they don't want to deal with anymore. So it truly is a real balance, having a conversation with self and then having conversation with your spouse as well, saying, listen, here's what I need. Or when you do this, I feel like that. So I think that you definitely have to get to that place where you are certainly taking care of home, taking care of your spouse, taking care of your children, but at the same time, give some time to yourself as well. You know, we're in a era now where it's all about this self-love and this self-care and all about me. Don't overdo that, though. Don't overdo that, though, because you got a spouse to take care of. You got kids to take care of, too. So that balance is important.
Right, all right. So we are sadly at our 8:30 hour, and I have so enjoyed you two. Thank you so much. I would like for each of you to give just a closing remark about this external threat, you know, to your marriage, just in general. You know, what word would you like to leave the listeners with? And we can start with you, Pastor Burns, if you don't mind.
Well, if I had to sum it all up and close it all out, you guard your marriage relationship, you know, with everything you have. You know, ask God to just cover, camp those angels about it, give you the wisdom needed, and you fight for it. You fight for it because the most important decision that you have made was to enter into that marriage, all right? And if you're not in a marriage yet, know that that's the most important decision that you can make, and you take it seriously. Don't go into it lightly. You know, you go into it being diligent, intelligent, you know, and discerning. Amen?
Yes. I was going to say, I think that, you know, we have to be extremely intentional about building our marriage and fireproofing it. You know, I think there was a book called that, Fireproofing Our Marriage from All of Those External Threats That Can Come, because the plan of the enemy is to destroy marriage. When you destroy marriage, there is so many other things that are destroyed in addition to that. So I feel like if we are daily, hourly, even by the minute, working on being intentional on making sure that we're doing all that we can to keep our marriage life intact, that way we can definitely fireproof our marriage from those external things coming in.
And let the folks know, we're on every Monday, Marriage Monday, on Facebook,
okay,
at 8 p.m. Eastern. All right,
helping
folks
Facebook
to try to stay married.
Well, I'm sorry, what's the Facebook page?
Oh, you can go to
Nicole Burns on Facebook.
Or P-A-S-T-R-J-O Burns, Pastor J-O Burns on Facebook.
And the Burns Memorial Church Facebook page. We're on all three.
Okay.
And we also are on our YouTube channel, which is Burns Memorial Church at YouTube. We're there as well.
All right, so start that all over again, because I kind of cut you off to ask you to give it. So give us the PSA to and the infomercial to your relationship channel.
Yes, so every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we are on the Facebook page. There's three of them. I'm going to give them to you. There's Nicole Burns at Facebook. We're on that page. There's P-S-T-R Burns, P-S-T-R-J-O Burns on Facebook, and then Burns Memorial Church on Facebook. Those are the three Facebook pages, and then we're also on YouTube at Burns Memorial Church. And that's Mondays, we call it Marriage Mondays, at 8 p.m. Eastern, every Monday.
All right, so you'll be on tonight.
Yes, we are on. Tonight. Yep,
wonderful,
tonight.
Wonderful,
yep.
Wonderful. So we got like a little preview of all your goodies that you bring to your relationship Monday, your marriage Mondays, excuse me. And I look forward to just kind of peeking in on you and encouraging everyone to join you on your Marriage Mondays. You have definitely been a blessing, and we are so happy that we were blessed to have you on with us today. And we give God thanks for you, and we pray for the continuance of your marriage and the continuance of your Marriage Mondays. Thank you so much, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We got more work to do. So we'll be talking.
That's right.
Soon. We'll be talking soon, God's fans. Have a blessed one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Oh, what a blessing. That was a nice reminder of how great Relationship Clinic is. Oh, my goodness. They were fantastic. And we were really blessed. You know, people always talk about, you know, oh, I don't do Facebook because Facebook is this and Facebook is that. I'm going to tell you something. Every single guest we have ever had on Is Due Time with Pastor Steph, they've been Facebook people. Yes. So, you know, everything is not negative. It's what you do with it. It is people who end up painting these tools that God can definitely get the glory out of. And, you know, just chatting with Lady Nicole, you know, just in our little bit of time, she just had such a warmth about her. And I just couldn't wait to get to speak with her and Pastor Burns. And, you know, you can always kind of get a feel for how the spouse is just by speaking with the one that you're speaking with. Because sometimes I speak to the husband first. And even when I'm speaking to him, we have another couple coming on, and I've been speaking to the husband. And I can just tell. I can just tell. And we have just been so blessed. Oh, my goodness. And for us to get started back again with our relationship clinic and to get a launch regarding this external threat topic was really a blessing coming from the two of them. And they don't live or reside, or their church is not too far from me. So that's the other reason why I feel this is a really good blessing, because we will definitely have a chance to just get together. And definitely would love to have them back on. So giving God thanks for our Relationship Monday. And you know what time it is. It is time for the Switch Tip with Shantee. So let's say good morning to Shantee. Good morning, Shantee.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. What you got for us today?
Today I got the Switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our Switch Tip 109 is stop keeping the problem alive. And this is something, a thought actually, that's been coming to me off and on. And one of the reasons why I believe God kept giving this to me periodically is because I just wouldn't shut up about certain things. And he would tell me to... You know, he says, come to me with everything. And, yes, he wants us to come to him with everything, every thought, especially if it's an ungodly thought, every dream, every goal, every aspiration, every failure, every sin, so on and so forth. But there comes a time where you got to learn to shut up. And I didn't really learn that, you know, at that point. I didn't learn how serious it was to stop talking at certain time. You know, like, okay, Jesus, you keep telling me to come to you. I'm finally there where I come to you about everything. But then again, there's those times where I may have to just talk to you in my head, which I learned years ago. But when you're in that mode of just like, all right, this is this and this is that and this is how I'm feeling about this and this is how I'm feeling about that, it's like, okay, but you're kind of helping to keep the problem on the same level or to help to make it worse. And the biggest way that we help to keep these problems alive is we interfere with God's work. And there's a verse that I memorized that I like to remember to say every morning when I pray, but it's Psalm 19:13. I say the whole verse, but I'm going to just read 13a in the Message version. Clean the slate, God, so we can start the day fresh. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. And for those who know me know I love to read the Message version, because I term it as the hood version of the Bible, the street version, because the words are a lot plainer than a lot of the other versions. And the keep me from stupid sins part is what really caught my attention when I first read this verse. But especially the from thinking I can take over your work. And we know that God wakes us up every morning with brand new mercies, grace, and love. And it does not necessarily mean that the problem we had yesterday is completely gone today. But what it does mean is that God gives us a fresh outlook on it. He gives us, like, we wake up feeling renewed. So it's like, okay, if I felt on like I was on level 10 with this problem yesterday, I could very well wake up this morning and feel like I'm on level 3 with this problem. God then brought it down 7 notches because of probably what I read last night, what I prayed last night, and because he blesses us with those brand new mercies, grace, and love. Now, two main ways we interfere with God's work, which helps to keep our problems alive. The first way, we interfere with God's work by working against our prayers. James 1, 6-7, Message Version. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who, quote-unquote, worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. Now, let's go through this quick order. God puts it on our hearts to pray, okay? I don't care what position you have in church. I don't care how long you've been in church, whether you were raised in church, what your title is in church, your position is in church. No one wants to pray unless God puts it on your heart to pray, okay? Then the Holy Spirit assists you on what to pray. There's verses that say, especially when you're just out of it and you don't feel like praying and somehow God gets you down to your knees and you don't know what to pray. I've been there a lot of times. I'm like, all right, Jesus, I'm in the position, but I really don't know what to say right now because my mind is just too hot right now. Either I'm too mad or I'm too sleepy or whatever the case is, and the Holy Spirit will now bring things to your remembrance, put words in your mouth on what to say. Okay, then you pray these things, and as you're praying, well, God is already working before that, but with you praying, now he's really moving. And now because you don't know how to shut up, you now start talking against what God has put on your heart to pray, or, because it's not just what you say, what you think. So, and I will admit there have been times that as I was praying, so for example, quick example, God may say, pray for this person. Now, God, you know I don't like this person. So first I got to pray that you touch my heart so I can even genuinely pray for this person. Okay, so now we done got past that prayer. Now you're telling me to pray for this person. As I'm praying for this person, I'm having a whole other conversation with myself in my mind about this person. You really think that this prayer is going to be that effective, Shantice, with you having your own conversation? And the conversation you're having with yourself in your head is completely contrary to what God is telling you to pray, what he's putting on your heart to pray for that person. So we have to stop working against our prayers with our thoughts and with our speech, and also remembering that the only reason why I'm praying is because God is petitioning me to pray. So that means he's even trusting me with this prayer. He's trusting me to assist him with his work, okay? The second way we interfere with God's work, as I've already mentioned, and something that I got a little better and I didn't fell back some, but because God is such a loving and gracious God, he's helping me to get back on track and to stay back on track. But we interfere with God's work when we speak too much and or negatively. One of my favorite verses that I say every day, and I'll have to say sometimes in the middle of me saying some things, Ephesians 4:29, New Living Translation, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, this is really, really important. Not that our thoughts are not important, because our thoughts can get us in as much trouble as if we say these things out loud. Me saying these things out loud when I'm in a room by myself, I may be the only human in this room, but the same way God is hearing what I'm saying, so is the enemy. And he's just looking, as it was already mentioned, he's looking for that little way to slither in. He's already studying us. He's already studying us, and he doesn't know what we're thinking. So now when we say it out loud, he's like, aha, that's what I can play on, because she or he just said X, Y, and Z. So now I know to tap dance on that area. But now when we go to say things to and or around people, we're now helping. And see, this, God has to really help me break this down, right? Okay. So when we speak badly about someone, right, we're now around other people, we're now helping those people to think negatively or look negatively at that person. So now you've just helped to bring someone else down in someone else's eyes, all because of what you said. And that's why the end of this verse says, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And there's a couple of people in my life where I was like, okay, I have to stop talking about them because I have nothing positive to say. And it's gotten to the point where it's like, please don't ask me about so-and-so. Please don't ask me about so-and-so. Because The second someone said, oh, well, how is so-and-so doing? It's like, okay, now here just come all the negative things. And you could have, they could have never saw them in a bad light. But then by the time I get finished talking, it's like, oh, I ain't know they was like that. Now I got to watch my back with them. And it doesn't mean that there are not times you may have to let someone know, you know, be on guard with so-and-so. But most of the time, we're not doing that for precautionary measures. We're doing that because we just want to talk and we just want to let out how we're feeling. And when we do that, we're interfering with God's work. Therefore, we're helping to keep the problem alive. If I have a problem with someone and God is asking me to pray for that person, me now speaking to someone else negatively about that person is helping to keep the problem alive. And shut up. And I do have a quick praise report, because I will say openly, as I've said before, I've been having some issues with my father since forever. And one of the issues I've had is his comments under my Facebook post. And it's gotten to the point where it's like, why do you even bother to go on my Facebook page, Father? Because you have nothing positive to say. And your comments help to set me back. And they annoy me. Well, I posted a Pray For Them video last Thursday. And I guess he just saw the video yesterday. And as soon as I saw that he commented, real quick, I was like, here we go. The eyes went to rolling. I had to stop myself. I said, you know what, God? You've been putting it on my heart to pray, not just for him, but about this specifically, because you know how this particular thing just helped to set me back mentally. And when I went on, not only did he post something decent, but he posted a comment that I could reply to, a positive reply, not even a negative reply. And, you know, as I was replying and I hit the send button, I was like, you know what, God, I have to say thank you, because there were so many times I've said out loud and I've said internally to you my complaints. I've shared these complaints with others close to me. So I had to make sure that now I get on here and say that because you helped me, because it wasn't my strength, because you helped me lean on your strength and not work against the problem, like as soon as, because there's been times I've seen a notification that he's commented and immediately I start complaining to someone else, like, I don't even want to read the comment. But because you helped me be on guard, you allowed me to see how you worked and how you were moving, and you helped to prevent me from keeping the problem alive. So we have to really make sure that we're making a conscious decision, making the switch to stop keeping the problem alive, to making sure we stop interfering with God's work by working against our prayers and making sure that we don't speak too much or speak negatively about it so that God can continue to work on our problems. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantese. Now, what's the switch tip title again?
Stop Keeping the Problem Alive.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much. Very, very encouraging. And thank you for sharing your praise report. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Ooh, did we get, we got some good stuff this morning. Whenever we have a word, we always get a blessed word, and we're giving God thanks. So I just want to make sure that I take this last little few moments to go before the Lord. Let's hold hands and hold hearts together this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, oh God, because you continually look beyond our faults and find our needs. We thank you so much, God, that you just decided to breathe the breath of life into our nostrils this morning to enable us to see such a bright and beautiful day. We are shaking the Monday morning blues, God, because you have already called peace into our day, because you have already called love into our day, because you have already called growth into our day, because you have already called all of your angels to be encamped around us, and we have no other choice but to give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. Thank you, God. We thank you for the burns this morning, dear Heavenly Father, and all of the wisdom and knowledge that they have graced us with this morning, dear Heavenly Father. Just the down-to-earth conversation that we were able to have, God, that let us know that they're not sitting so high that they don't know what it is to go through the external threat of a relationship, the external threats of a marriage. And we thank you, God, that they were so transparent, that they were able to help us see that we're just not the only ones who go through these things, dear Heavenly Father, that we're not alone, and that there is an answer. There's a heavenly answer that can definitely resolve all of these external threats, not just one, not just some, but all. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. We give you the glory and the honor today, God, just for our switch tip. Thank you. We know that switch tip is for somebody who's listening today. It may not be about their dad. It may not be about their coworker. It may not be about their sibling, but it's about somebody. Somebody who we're not fond of speaking to, or someone we don't want to speak out. But we just thank God that as long as we position ourselves, that we can now stand and be healed. That you can reroute our thinking. You can reroute our speech. You can reroute our heart. And we thank you for teaching us that. Thank you for investing in us just one more time, God, that we can now remember the components that we were given today. And even though we may have heard these things before, we thank you for the reminder that we don't have an excuse now, because your word already says that your spirit, your Holy Spirit, brings back to our remembrance all that we've heard, all that we've read in your word. So as we have our guests on and they are reiterating the things that are in your word, we thank you. Because now we're getting a double dose of you. Thank you for choosing the Burns, Pastor JL and Lady Nicole Burns. We thank you for choosing them to bless us this morning. And a few weeks ago when they couldn't get on, is okay. Because the timing, your timing, is always correct. So we thank you, God, that they weren't bitter and upset or deterred from just pushing their way to be on with us. And we thank you, God, that they positioned themselves to be a blessing to us. And we pray, God, that you just bless their marriage bountifully, their family bountifully, their ministry bountifully, and that they can continue to bless all who hear the word that you give them. So we say thank you, God, for another Monday where we are in our right frame of mind, where our health is on point, where we are positioned to grow, we're positioned to learn, and we turn on, we tune in just to hear what you have to say, and that you can be the game changer, that you can be the life changer, that you can be the one that points us in the right direction. And we can never say that you did not ensure that we had everything we needed to choose you. We pray that each and every person at the sound of our voice would choose you today. That something was said here today that made them realize that they need a Savior and they can't waste another minute. Thank you, God. Thank you for loving us in only the way you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I love Relationship Clinic. I love Relationship Clinic. And I know that our due time crew was happy that they had just a little break. And they can sit back and listen and just be blessed. And we have, again, another couple coming up soon. And now when we, you know, have to get through this anniversary, I can now get back into my game of just surfing Facebook and allowing God to navigate me to choose the right individuals.
And, you know, I thought about a lot as they were talking, a lot of things they were saying, and I pray that, you know, you pick up those tools, you know, and it doesn't have to wait. You know, the external threats don't necessarily wait. It doesn't wait till you're married, because it starts at the fiber of that connection. Just the connection can become unwoven. And, you know, you have to really make sure you're on your guard. Because if you don't, you'll take all of that into the marriage, thinking that, oh, you know, people are going to change. Oh, you know, they're not going to stay there. Oh, you know, that's just for now. How many times did people go into a marriage thinking that? That, you know, this is only temporary. You know, if I love her, you know, in a certain way, in a special way, in a different way, that, you know, she'll change. If I love him, and if I bring him his food, and I give it up every night, and, you know, if I cook his meals and wash his clothes, that he'll have to see how good I am. And it just doesn't work. Just didn't work like that. Well, we're, you know, here today to tell you that, you know, the enemy, as Pastor Burns continued to say, you know, him and his minions are on, they are on a mission from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. He was on a mission from then, and he is still on a mission now. You know, he has got to make sure, you know, very few of us serve the Lord. Because the more people you can get and keep away from God, the more people that will perish with it. So his goal is to take as many down with him as possible. You know, don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Make sure you stay on guard. You stay before the Lord. You bring him those problems. Bring him those problems. You know, take your complaints to God and take your compliments to the person. And watch the change that it makes. Watch the change that takes place right before your eyes, especially if it's your spouse. You know, sometimes we are so busy complaining that we miss how great the person is, and we're so busy complaining that, you know, you make it appear as though there's nothing good, excuse me, about the person. You're so busy complaining that you can't see the forest for the trees. You're so busy complaining that the person doesn't even try anymore. Like, you know, what point, you know, would it even be to even try to do anything? All they ever see are the bad things. So why am I even bothering to try to show them that I've changed, or I'm doing something different, or I've gotten better, or, you know, I'm trying to do things differently? Because that's just going to get washed down the drain. So we don't want, like Chauncey said, we don't want to be, you know, the ones who, you know, speak negatively. And now was, you know, someone to go backwards in life. We want to be able to help, to use edifying words and just help to push the person forward. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, and I want to thank the Burns, Pastor J.O. and Lady Nicole Burns, for all blessing our lives this morning. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, or take this opportunity to deepen your relationship with the Lord. Until tomorrow, Godspeed, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. I love you.